Hey, it's Dee. So I'm gonna do Texan Guy's questionnaire because I was listening to everybody else do it and everybody just seemed to be having such a good time that I thought I would jump on the bandwagon and do it myself. This is the first time I'm doing a questionnaire out loud, so excuse if I'm a little scatterbrained. I think in a couple of different languages, and sometimes that means that my mouth is a little bit slower than my brain, so I might take awkward pauses where there shouldn't be an awkward pause, but that's just allow it, just allow it. Yeah, so anyway, I just woke up also, so that makes things even worse because I also have sleepy brain. Yeah, I overslept and I'm like an hour late to class now, and it's my only one today, so I'm just not gonna go. Like, if I was 10 minutes late, I'd go, but because I overslept a whole hour, I'm just not gonna bother. I don't see the point. And I'm a rebel, yeah. Anyway, to get to the questions, number one, do spelling mistakes annoy you? They used to really annoy me. When I was like 14, 15, I was a total grammar Nazi, and just any little mistake would piss me the fuck off. And I would make sure, of course, that anything I sent, like whether it was like a text to my mom or a email to, I don't know, to school or something important, I would make sure every single letter, apostrophe, whatever was correct, because I didn't want to be one of those kids that couldn't spell and couldn't type and stuff. So, yeah, so I would make sure everything was correct. And if somebody else made a spelling mistake, like, I would immediately fucking point it out. Like, it's so obnoxious. But that was just, yeah, I was like a huge know-it-all when I was younger. I like to think I'm a bit better now, but yeah. But anyway, but they don't annoy me anymore. Like, they genuinely don't. Like, I don't care if you fucking get yours and yours wrong. Unless, like, it's a formal correspondence. Like, if it's something for work or college, I think those should definitely be, because spell check is available. It's a thing. You can use it. But if it's just like casual texting, or if, I'm just talking to a friend or something, then I don't. It doesn't bother me in the slightest. Like, I really don't give a fuck how anybody types. I will use correct grammar and things if I'm talking to somebody in like paragraph format. But if like I'm having like a really, really rapid fire conversation with someone, like where we're both just, like I was talking to my friend about some memes the other day. And just all caps locks and all full stops and everything, like they just get thrown out of the window because we just have so much to say, and you want to say it so quickly that you don't have time to put those things in. So, like, if you're a really, really close friend of mine, you probably will have seen me talk like that, like without any proper grammar. And if you're not, then I'm probably, reasonably literate all the time. But yeah, but no, they don't annoy me. I don't, I mean, I'm not gonna hold someone accountable for fucking up some spelling or some grammar. It's not a big deal in the scheme of things. If you don't do anything for an entire day, how does it make you feel? It depends on the context. If it's planned, if I've decided that today is gonna be a day where I don't do much, like today, I'm literally only gonna do one thing today, and it's planned, like I know that I'm not going to do coursework or go to class, so it's not going to make me feel guilty later because it was intentional and it was planned. But if I have a day where I'm sick and I can't do anything and I want to do things, then that can really upset me. Like, I have a skin condition and sometimes it gets really bad and I can't quite go to college or, do the things that I want to do, and that can be really overwhelmingly bad feels for me. Like, I get really, really irritated with myself. And it's something I'm working on because, you know, like, you're allowed to be sick. You're allowed to have days where you don't do shit. And I think everybody's too hard on themselves and everybody tries to get too much done all the time. But I guess that's just the way people are. Of these two, what would you prefer in life and why? Interesting things happening more often or good things happening more often? If I was having, like, a great time of life right now, I probably would say interesting things, but I'm not. So definitely good things. Like, I would really, really like my good things meter to go up a bit. I've just been having a crap past couple of weeks. Where, like, you know, there'll be one tiny occasional little good thing happen and then the rest of the week is just shit. Like, the weather has been shit. College has been really difficult. You know, like, yesterday I fucking dropped my phone and smashed the screen and I can't afford to get it fixed right now. And there's just so much going on that I would love if good things started to happen. Like, I feel like my karma is super out of whack, you know, like, it's just been bad, 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 to the point where it's like, what the fuck did I do to have this much bad karma coming my way? Like, when is the good gonna come? So, yeah, good things happening more often would be great, be amazing. How often, if ever, do you meditate? I meditate quite a lot, probably once every other day. Kind of depends on whether I feel like I need it. It really did help with my anxiety and my anger issues. Especially because, one thing that happens to me quite a lot if I have, like, a bad anxiety attack is I dissociate. And, meditating has really sort of helped me have more control over when, over what my consciousness is doing. So yeah, so it's been really handy that way. And it's also just a really good way to feel connected. I'm quite a spiritual person, I guess. Like, I've dabbled in most things that offer a connection to higher powers and offer a connection to the universe. And so I like, you know, like, crystals and astrology and, sorry, I'm a bit sniffly, yeah, and meditation, and meditation is one of the things that really, really stuck, and it's just such a good way to keep yourself grounded, and it's also a good way, like, if you're into, like, astral projection and things like that, like, meditation is a great way to learn, to teach yourself to do that. I definitely don't think it's for everyone, but I think everyone can benefit from calm. Like, you don't have to meditate in the traditional, like, I don't know, like, juju kind of way. Like, I think just taking a second of reflectiveness and a second to time out and just breathe and just be is so, so good for anyone, you know? Yeah. What sort of intelligence do you value most and why?
In myself, I am a very,
I'm a very emotionally aware person. I'm very empathetic. I'm usually pretty quick to catch on to what other people are feeling. And it can be bad, like, it can get to the point where, you know, I just want to take on everybody else's problems and try and help everyone else and just let my own problems sort of slide to the background because I don't really want to think of about them, and it's just easier to immerse myself because, you know, because I am so emotional and empathetic, it's easy to get really, really lost in other people. And it's not necessarily a good thing. Like, when it comes to emotions, put yourself first, please. What else? I'm pretty, artistically inclined. I wouldn't necessarily say I'm like amazingly talented or anything, but I like doing it. I like to draw, I like to paint, I like to play instruments, even though I can't play any properly. I can play piano a bit. That's a great time. But just art in general is something that I love. And I've got a good eye for things that are artistic. And yeah, that's something that I value in myself. In other people, I am definitely attracted to practicality, to logic, like just practical know-how in general, like fixing things or knowing how things work. I'm very attracted to that because I can't do shit myself. I've never changed a light bulb in my life. And I'm 19, so that's really quite an achievement, I suppose. But it's quite bad because eventually, I've just moved out and I'm living on my own now, and eventually one of the lights is going to go and I'm going to have no idea what to do. But practical know-how is something, if my significant other can, change a tire or knows what to do when the electricity goes off, then that would be good. Because, for some reason, my siblings have always done those things. Like, one of my siblings will have changed the light bulb or, gone and found the fuse box and done the magic thingy with that. So I've just never had to do it. And so I haven't. And it isn't something I've necessarily been interested in learning. So it just sort of slips out of the way. I do need bookshelves, so I might start slow and get some IKEA bookshelves and try and put them together myself. It'll probably end in a horrible disaster, but I feel like I should learn one of these days to do more practical things, but I don't. So that's definitely something that I like in other people. And then I also the social aspect of things in other people, because I'm not introverted, but I'm not hugely social either. I quite enjoy my own company or the company of just a few people or one person at a time. I'm not big into huge parties with loads of people and things like that. I'll go occasionally, if my friends want me to go and things like that, but I'd be fine. But I'd be just as happy, sitting at home, binge watching Teen Wolf or some other trash show and just being sluggly and happy. So I definitely, I like charismatic personalities. I like people who know what to do in social situations, who know how to be themselves and be assertive with other people. But I don't know that I would necessarily like a huge extrovert either, because then I would feel obligated to be like them, or I wasn't their type, because I don't enjoy hugely extroverted situations. I don't know. Is that even a thing? How often would you say that you daydream? I daydream quite a bit. I do. I'm very good at daydreaming while still being present, if that makes sense. I can compartmentalize my brain really, really well. I can think about quite a few different things at the same time, which is actually quite hard to do. But it's just something I've developed, I guess. So I can have a conversation but also be off on a tangent in my head about something else different entirely, and and I like daydreams. I really like daydreams. I think a lot of fodder for creativity comes from daydreams, and you know, like, some of my inspiration for, like, characters or stories or audios even has come from a daydream. And I like them more than I was about to sneeze and then it got stuck in my nose. I hate when that happens. Okay. Wait, it's still itching. Where's the sneeze? Okay. What was I saying? Yeah, I like daydreams more than I like nighttime dreams because I like having control. I like having, like, they can still kind of do their own thing, but you can pull them back in and redirect them. Whereas when you're asleep, you can't do that unless you're a lucid dreamer, in which case, like, I'm really fucking jealous and good for you. Because I've tried to teach myself to lucid dream so much, but I just haven't been able to yet. Yeah, but that would be so freaking cool because, like, if I could control my dreams, like, I have some weird ass dreams and it would be amazing if I could control them. Like, amazing. Which of these two is more romantic, arousing to you, and why? Kissing and making love in Paris or kissing, making love in a tent in the woods? Neither. Jeez. I don't. Paris isn't high on my hit list. Like, I really, really like travelling and I like going places, but Paris has never been, France in general, like, I'm not interested in it. No offence, does that sound offensive? Oh my god, I don't know. It just hasn't really occurred to me that I really want to go there. I don't think the Eiffel Tower is a marvellous feat of architecture, especially. I've seen a couple beaches in France that I wouldn't mind going to. Like, if somebody brought me a ticket to France, to Paris, and whatever, like, I wouldn't say no. But it's not somewhere that I would save up and go to myself. So, I don't know. That doesn't especially appeal to me. And neither does a tent in the woods. I'm not a huge outdoor person. Well, I don't know that I'm not outdoorsy. Like, I love the beach and I like the desert. Like, I like heat and sand and ocean and I quite like open fields as well, provided there's no farm animals in them. But the woods just freak me out. I don't like woods. I don't know, bears are scary. I feel like there would be, like, if there were going to be monsters somewhere, they'd be in the woods, you know? Like, it's just a really good place for a monster to be, you know? Usually they're pretty dark and shielded and isolated and mucky and wet and just all the things that I don't want to be, you know? So that doesn't really seem all that amazing to me either, but I guess that could play into arousal. Fear and arousal can be kind of sort of in the same ballpark for me. So, like, if I was, like, freaking out and my significant other was like, oh hey, no, calm down, it's okay, and then we start making out and shenanigans ensue, then that would be all right. So I'm not gonna say no. So if I have to pick one, it would probably be the tent in the woods, just because it seems like it could be like a really sexy scenario. Even though I hate the woods, and like, if we could leave right after, that would be great. What cuddle position do you prefer? Big spoon, little spoon, both, neither? I'm definitely a little spoon. Yeah, definitely a little spoon. I love being all snuggled up like that. Like, just the feeling of being, you know, enclosed by someone else. That was nice. That is always nice. Except sometimes it can get really fucking hot being a little spoon, like when you're in bed. Like, I was snuggling this dude the other day and he had his arm around me, and it was, like, in, sort of in my neck area, and, it was, like, crushing, and, like, it wasn't too heavy, like, I wasn't being choked, it was just it being there, and I just, and, you know, and, like, I was under blankets as well, and I was just so fucking hot that I had to, like, shove him away and be like, dude, like, back the fuck off for a second. I didn't actually say that, no. He didn't even wake up when I pushed him, so that was handy. Yeah, and then I just went back to sleep. And then later I woke up and I was in, like, the same position. It was really weird. So either, like, I moved back over the night or he moved over to me. I don't know what it was, but, yeah. But, yeah, I'm a little spoon. But spooning isn't my favourite snuggle position. My favourite cuddle... My favourite way to cuddle would definitely be being on someone's lap. I don't know if it's just the little in me or what, but, yeah, being in someone's lap is really, really nice. It's just a really good spot for being, like, you know, whether I'm facing them or facing away from them, it's a really good spot to be touched, and that can be, you know, sexual, sort of, or very, or it can be just completely cuddly, and, I like that there's, you always kind of feel like that position could be switched up. Yeah, so definitely being in someone's lap is my favourite position, always. Yeah. Sorry, I keep needing to sneeze and not being able to. Question 9. What's your opinion of the phrase making love when it refers to sex? I wouldn't say that I have a huge opinion on it, but, usually it's either really fucking cheesy or really, really hot. Like, I had someone say something about making love in a sexting context the other day, and, it was, like, instant, like, yes, that's so nice, you know? So it can be really, really nice when it's applied to a situation that allows for it, and it can be awfully corny when you hear it in, like, movies or a book or something, you know? Is your ideal sex rough or gentle? Both. I don't necessarily swing one way. I think there's something to be said for really sweet, gentle sex, and there's something to be said for really rough, hardcore sex. And I think my ideal sex would be something that sort of switches between the two. Like, I quite like situations where it can go from, like, gentle, cuddly, nice stuff to, like, over-the-top, rough, kinky, whatever kind of sex, you know? Like, something that sort of has both in it. That's definitely my ideal. Yeah, so if you can be rough and gentle, then, yeah, great sex, woo! If you're in the middle of the best sex in your life and your partner asked you to make dolphin or whale noises so that they can reach climax, would you do it? I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think, would that put me off? Because, like, that's such a fucking weird question. Like, if somebody just randomly asked you, like, make dolphin noises while you were trying to, you know, finish, would that not just, like, I would be so curious to find out, like, why do I need to do that? Like, my immediate response would not be to make the noise. My immediate response would be, like, why in the fucking fuck would you need me to do that so that you can come, you know? I'd say I would try. It would be horrible, but I would try. I was trying to do it earlier, actually, when I first saw this questionnaire. I was like, oh, can I do that? And I can't make a dolphin noise. Like, my throat just won't do it. Like, you know, the see, like, like, I don't have the right, like, it should be, like, in your throat somewhere, and I can't do it. I love whale music though. Like, whale noises are so cool. Like, they just sound like. Okay, they don't sound like that, but that's kind of in the ballpark, I suppose. They're just like, they moan, and it's really cool, and like, really, like, eerie almost. Like, whale noises can be really fucking creepy, or they can be really calming. Sometimes a bit of both. Yeah, but whales are like my favorite animals, so I know a lot of random shit about whales. Yes, if you ever want to know random things about whales, like, hit me up. 10/10. Yeah, I love whales. I've seen a whale actually, but just the tail. But it was amazing. Like, I will never, ever, ever forget. I was out dolphin watching actually, and we did see dolphins, and those are brilliant, but I've seen dolphins a couple times, so, and they're amazing every time. Like, you could never see too many dolphins. Like, that's not a thing. Like, I would never be like, oh, I'm bored of dolphins now, I've seen them 3 times, but I've only ever seen a whale once, and I only ever saw the tail of it, and it was just, like, I almost had an out-of-body fucking experience. Like, it was a humpback whale, so that was, it's really cool. I wish I could have seen the whole thing. Like, I wish I could have seen, like, its eye or something, I don't know, like, you know, like, whenever they're in movies, like, you see, like, the eye, the big, unblinking, beautiful eye of the whale, and you see it, like, from the side or something awesome, but I just saw the tail in the distance, which was still amazing, like, still. Whales are amazing! Oh, if I was an animal, I would want to be a fucking whale. Question 12. What are the strangest, funniest phrases or terms for things you've heard said so far? You can also mention strangest or funniest cursing fits. This reminds me of that fucking post. I can't remember if it was like Tumblr or Imgur or what, but it's like names for things that only make sense when you're stoned, and it was like, you know, like, a feather is a bird leaf, and a sofa is a people shelf, and it's just, like, the funniest fucking post. Like, I was laughing for about 15 minutes straight the first time I saw it. I think my favourite one was, like, colours. Colours are eyeball flavours. Or, like, milk is cereal water. Or your ankle is a footrest. It's just great. I don't know how people come up with things. I don't even know. What else? Cock goblin. One of my friends was really, really drunk, at a party this one time. I think it was last year. So what happened was, we were playing a game, and she lost or something, I can't remember, but somebody had, like, purposely made her lose, and so she gets really upset, and she's like, you fucking cock goblin. And it was just the funniest thing in the world at the time. Because why would that be the first insult that springs to your brain? But it did. And so now, like, that with that group of friends, we all call each other cock goblins all the time. Yeah, so if you ever need something funny to call someone, cock goblin is a good option. If you had to choose your greatest motivator in life at this time from the following, what would it be and why? Love, wealth, expression, knowledge, or freedom? I think it'd be freedom, definitely. I don't know, I mean, that's kind of why I'm doing the things I'm doing, I guess. I mean, it's why I moved away from home, it's why I'm going to college, because I'd really like financial freedom so that I can just do the shit that I want to do. I don't know. I think being free is kind of a big deal to me because I didn't have a bad upbringing by any means. Like, my parents are great. My family is mostly great. But I did have a very conservative upbringing, especially when it comes to sex and dating and things like that. So I don't, and it just isn't a nice feeling to not be able to question things and to not be able to explore, and to feel really restrained all the time, you know, and to sort of have to suppress everything that you think is normal, that, you know, that is normal to do, like, you know, like masturbating and, I don't know, just sex in general, you know, like even dating, like I'm not allowed to have a boyfriend, and I mean, they definitely, like, my parents definitely don't know I'm bisexual, and I don't even plan on coming out anytime soon because that would just be a field of messy, like it would just be so fucking messy that I don't want to do it. So yeah, so freedom. I would very much just like to feel unrestrained at some point. And I would like to be financially free. I would like to be free in my personal convictions. You know, just to sort of make up my own mind about what I think is good and bad and what I think is right and wrong. And I know people can be like, well, you know, you're your own person, just do your own thing. But it's like, oh, well, I don't want to upset my parents, and I don't want to be an outcast, and I don't want to, you know, just fuck up relationships with people that I like. And yeah, I don't know. It would be nice if there were just no repercussions for things and you could just sort of explore and be free and do your own thing, but it's not always that easy. I don't know. So, freedom, definitely a huge motivator. Yeah. And so ends the questionnaire. How long have I... Oh god, it's 32 minutes long. I'm so sorry. If you bore with it that whole time, well, fucking done. Okay. So I'll see you guys later. Don't wanna waffle on any more than I already have. So thank you very much for listening if you did, and bye.